Hello and welcome to the Fantasy Wargaming Podcast. We're your hosts,
Paul
and Tony.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's been a bit of a while. Sorry for the delay, but real life got in the way as normal. But today we are bringing you, very excitedly, the matchup predictions for the Masters. So, yeah, what's this involve, Tony?
Well, we're going to look through all of the first round games, which have now been drawn, and then based on absolutely no real qualification to do this, we will decide who we think's most likely to win.
Mate, you don't give yourself enough credit. We have our own podcast, and therefore we can say whatever we want on our own blocks. It doesn't mean that people have to listen to us.
But, and we're nearly always wrong.
That's it, exactly. So, with that in mind, if you want more informed decisions, we have formed a coalition, as it were, with the other podcasts and other media of the Ninth Age world. So, I mean, Lucky Sixes has done a fantastic job with the PTG YouTube channel. So definitely check that out. They've done some, I think the live draw was done through Thundercocks, but the PTG guys did a fantastic Who's Who. And they've also done some other bits and pieces on their feed. The Paired Weapons podcast have been putting out some serious content. Thundercocks, I think, did the live draw last night on, is it Twitch? I think you can still see that,
that
live.
Was Will
if you want to.
And Jack, who did the draw on Twitch last night.
That's it, through Jack being part of the Thundercocks. And then you've got Craig, a slam rat, doing his bit as well, which has been really good. He's been doing some player interviews and a few other bits and pieces. Not sure if the Mad Gits are doing anything. And have I missed anybody? I don't believe so. I think that's the cast and crew of this year. So check us all out on our various feed channels and on the Ninth Age forum as well. We've collectively created a post, which all of these podcasts will be going on to. So without further ado, let's go into what we're here for. Very exciting times. This is the Masters 2021. And this is the who's being playing who going through their list. Reviews have been done by the Paired Weapons podcast. So check them out for actual other people's opinions of lists. We'll go through them briefly and then discuss who we think's going to do what in their first games. And then Tony and I think we're gonna give some early predictions as to who we think the runners and riders are, probably pick our favorite list and the list that we think's gonna get stomped on a little bit more, and then go from there. So shall we start with table one, game one?
So on table one we have Colin Power with Saurian Ancients, current UK ranking number 3, versus Marcus with Demon Legions, current ranked number 13. Both are very experienced with their lists. Colin and Marcus have been playing Saurians and Demons for years. Marcus has been to the Masters before, previously placed 15th. Colin has been 3 times and he's placed 4th, 3rd and 2nd. 2 very experienced players. What do you think of their lists, Paul?
Yeah, so I've got a bit of experience with Demons, having played with them on UB this year, and I've just started picking up Saurian, so I've digested the book and started looking through. Colin's list didn't surprise me much at all, apart from he took a Stygius Saur with Mystic Traveller instead of the other Taurus Saur, which I think he's usually been running. But I think that was more for the anti-elf meta with the extra breath weapon and the ability to project his magic through that, through, with his coatl, with the symbiosis. The other surprise, I think, in his list was, I'm running a divination alchemy mage, and he's taken divination and pyromancy, I think, expecting more of an elven meta. And I think, actually, although there were no dread elves in this tournament, I think that pyromancy will still come into effect, but I do think he'll miss the alchemy in later rounds. Marcus's list, interesting. I think the strength of the demon book is that there are some really good options in it, and then unfortunately there's some really poor choices, and none of the poor choices have appeared. He's only taken the good ones, things like the Hoarders. I really rate the Hope Harvester, but he's taken it in a slightly different form. His core I think is very strong with the 22 succubi with the smothering coils, but they're very expensive.
It's an MSU list, though, isn't it? You know, 3 blocks of 3 bloke flies, 3 blocks of 3 hoarders.
Yeah, I mean, I must say, I've not really been following Marcus's lists. I know Marcus has been playing demons all year and he knows what he's doing with them. again.
Oh, no, four blocks of three hoarders. I missed the line above.
Oh, yes. Oh, is that a typo? I thought it was just... Oh, no, no, you're right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, one of them's got a champion. So, I mean, that's a lot of hoarders on the table. I mean, against... Against a Dread Elf meta, I think, is what he may have been going for. But I don't know. Demons are a take-all in this particular thing. And I think the Succubi, in particular, are anti-elf. Personally, in this matchup, I think it's going to be very interesting. I know Colin has got the Pyro. He's also got the Skin Cloud. So he's got quite a lot of poison there that will just get over the Hoarder's resistance. But I know you were saying, Tony, with the amount of units that Marcus has got, he's going to be able to put pressure on those lizards and push them back. That cloud is going to be running away very quickly, and Marcus has got things to put pressure on.
And flyers. I mean, three units of flyers. That doesn't help a cloud, does it, when you're hopping straight over the top? So
boat flies. And also the Thorm. I know for a fact, playing Thorm and Evo, it's a really nice combination because Colin has to shut down Comet, or that will just ruin his day. And if he lets off the other magic missiles that Colin's got, that Marcus has got access to, as well as it depends what Evo spells he brings. But I think he could put some pressure on Colin. So by no means do I think any of these matchups are going to be 20-0, so they shouldn't be. Both players have got an opportunity here, but I would side with Colin with regards to the breath weapons, the pyro, and just the amount of sheer damage output he can put at range, whereas Marcus is just trying to get across the table into combat with him. So matchup predictions, it's Marching Columns, which could be interesting with deploy. I know I've made messed up, but I mean, these two guys should know what they're doing with Marching Columns. And it's Hold Ground, which is taking the center of the board. So based on that, I think Marcus has probably got the opportunity to get the objective better, I would say, given the fact that he can push away Colin's Skin Cloud and Colin really doesn't want to fight him. But I think
and maybe a bit of an edge on the deployment as well with so many units.
Yeah. I think Colin's going to kill more stuff, though. So I don't know. I think it's going to be an interesting one. I don't think it's going to be 20-0. I think Colin's going to probably pip it, say 12-8, maybe 13-7. What's your thoughts?
I'm going to go with Marcus because Saurians are filth. Colin's written the book he wants.
Well, that's so true. That Coatl Belt is filth, which is why I'm taking it in my next tournament. Yeah. Right then, table two, you take the lead on this one, mate.
So table two, we have Jake Courteen, currently ranked number 5, playing his Infernal Dwarfs, against Trent Barnard, currently ranked number 9 with Vermin Swarm. So just looking at previous performances, this is Trent's first Masters on the basis he's only been playing for 5 minutes. Jake is obviously an ex-Master. He's placed 1st, 6th, and 5th. So he's been to the 3 Ninth Age Masters, UK Masters so far. So I think Trent obviously has basically stomped me into the ground to get his players. Some of those points along the way, I think the last game actually was quite good, but I believe we played once before that and he just smashed me. So Trent's had a really good year, but wow, first year of competitive 9th and straight into the Masters, so the dream. But Jake's not an easy one to match up against, is it? So I mean, Jake's got ID list, rocking with Alchemy, Pyromancy, Essence of a Free Mind Prophet, and a Master on a Ball. I mean, it's just the filth, really, isn't it? He's got Kadim Incarnates, he's got Tarak Anointed, he's got an Infernal Engine with a Naphtha Thrower.
Yeah. I mean, this is the thing, looking at the draw, and with absolute respect to Trent, because, mate, hands off, there's a hats off even. There's no, well, I haven't been able to achieve what you've done, and I've had UB, and I could have been taking Vermin, and I don't think I would have done as well as you have, but you and I have both played with that Vermin list, or similar similar list to it. And both you and I were like, this is like playing on easy mode. It's a really strong list. There's a lot. I mean, I'm surprised they got away with the points reductions that they did in the recent update. I thought the Vermin were going to get whacked over the head, especially as they're getting a new book out shortly. They're only going to get better. But I think if anybody's list can beat the Vermin in this tournament, unfortunately for Trent, I think he's come up against it. The Infernal Dwarves, I think, here have got all the tools they need to deal with this Vermin list. I mean, just the sheer damage output for this Infernal Dwarf list scares me. I just look at it and think, ugh. It's one of the best lists that I've seen for Infernal Dwarves in quite a while.
I mean, it's got a Vermin Demon. So, and he's got Plague Patriarch. Trent's got Plague Patriarch on the bell. Is it on the bell? Pendulum, sorry.
Yeah, he's got him on the pendulum. Yeah, he does.
Massive block of that at arms. 60, bigger than when I played with him. So, but he has dropped the Doom Wheels in favour of two units of six Jigels. I am surprised by that. Now, yeah, I mean, whether actually Jake could probably deal with the Doom Wheels easier than the two blocks of Giselles, and whether that reach is going to be to his benefit, I'm not sure. I mean, against Kadim and Torok Anointed, those Doom Wheels would be a problem.
Yes, and that's the thing. That is a big thing.
Mm. 12 Giselle shots, so, I mean, that... Yeah, I suppose the other thing with the Doom Wheel is that it just scared the Prophet on the ball.
But I think the Giselles do the similar kind of thing. I mean, I would still, if I was running that Prophet on a Bull, I don't know where I'm hiding from both the Div Magic and the Giselles. I mean, again, I don't think it's going to be an easy matchup for either of these guys. I don't think there's an easy game really at all in this tournament. But just looking at it, if I was to back anybody against the Vermin Swarm, it would probably be the Infernal Dwarves. And unfortunately for Trent, he's picked probably one of the better armies to go up against him in the first round. Now, that might mean that Trent can submarine in later rounds. Who knows if he can sub during the Masters. But yeah, my money's on Jake to take that, probably 12 or 13. Again, I don't think it's going to be big. I think if either of them bleed more points than that, one of them's done something wrong. But just purely based on the fact that Jake's got enough pyro, enough magic missiles in that list and enough range damage to take off the easy stuff like the Plague Disciples at range. The Gutter Blades as well are easy points. I don't know if he would get the Rat at Arms and the Plague Patriarch. The Vermin Demon is very touch and go, but so is the Prophet General. He's going to have to protect that. So if either of them lose their general, I think they're going to go down a bit harder than they would want to. So they may both play a bit more conservatively, but who knows? We'll see.
I think Jake's going to, win, but it's purely on the basis this is his fourth Masters, whereas it's Trent's first. So I do wonder whether... Yeah, the nerves will, and the change in player pack compared to a normal tournament, as in the group of players, gives Jake a little head start on this one. So, I think you're probably right as well. Jake for a small win.
Okay, so, table three. Who have we got on table three then, Tony?
Table three is Ed Murdoch, currently ranked number 8 with his Orcs and Goblins, versus Ali Parran, currently ranked number 18 with his Orc and Goblins. This is going to be a cracking game, isn't it? So Ed has previously placed 10 at the Masters. Ali, this is his first attendance. So, yeah, well done, Ali, for making it up into the Masters.
Yeah,
very and lovely. To Trent, obviously, as well. You know, all the first-time Masters players, you know, really well done.
Well, I know Trent and Ali have both won tournaments. Ali's won two. So... neither of them are pushovers. I mean, I know Ali said he won the Masters side event last year and it was a bit of an easy one in, but then since then he won the House War. So, and again, that was taking on some serious names. So, and with Orcs and Goblins as well. So, both of them definitely deserve to be there. Orcs and Goblins against Orcs and Goblins. It's usually a laugh. Personally, I mean, I know both lists quite well. I've been mucking around with Orc lists for quite a while. I've not played with Orcs for a bit, though, mind you, so I am a little bit rusty. Looking at it, I rate Ali's list because Ali was basically making suggestions behind the scenes and I had to give him very, very little feedback back. I think his list that he's got there is something he knows how to play with well. I think
so. You're saying you've got, if he wins, it's because of you?
No, no, not at all. No, no, no. He just sent me over some lists and just said, what do you think? And personally, I was really impressed with the Goblin King with the Huntsman Spider. I think that's going to be quite good in this environment. I'm not sure about the Great Weapon on the Gargantula instead of the paired weapons with Shieldbreaker, which is what Ed's running, because I think the Shieldbreaker is a better variant, but I think Ali was running out of points and that's where he was able to cut them. Purely on this matchup, it's so hard to call. It's Greenskins versus Greenskins. I mean, Ed, with respect as well, he's been mucking around with the Scuttler Spider, which is, it gives him Scout and Vanguard. So those Scuttler Spiders can come on anywhere he wants, but within reason. And Goblin Chiefs on top, and they push over with their poisoned attacks, and they're so cheap. I personally have been looking at a couple of lists with Kings on top, just because they've got a little bit more damage output, but as a unit, they're really strong. But the only thing I don't really like about Ed's list is the 31 Orc Ed Bashers. I always find that big block of Ed Bashers to be a bit of a weak link in any Orc list, and I think that's where Ali has a slight advantage in this match, but Ed's got the range. Ed's got the ability to zone Ali quite well. Ali's got the Thorn, so I don't know. It's just going to go backwards and forwards, and it all comes.
I'm going to say Ali because he's got trolls, and they're my favourite unit.
I mean, I appreciate he's got the trolls, but I don't know. Such a hard one to call because whilst he's got the trolls, Ed's got the Pyromancy Mage. He only needs to get Flaming Sword off and force that through in a round of combat, and those Ed Bashers go straight through the trolls. So I don't know. It's going to come down to who can play better, who gets the advantage on the dice, who makes the mistakes, or if either of them commit, it could quite easily be a 10-10. I'm going to cheat, and so I'm going to take the easy route out. I'm going to go 10-10. I'm not betting against either of these guys. What's your thoughts?
Well, Ali has got trolls.
Ali's got trolls, right? Okay. What's your prediction though? What do you reckon?
My prediction is a massive dead pile. I'd assume both sides smash it out with the others. I think it will be, and it's hold the center. So I'm going to give Ali 14 points.
Okay. Okay.
Sorry, Ed, but you didn't get trolls. It's a scientific method that I'm using. I'm not sure if you remember last year where we went through the Masters and said who we thought we were going to win.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? I basically replicated the ranking scoring, thinking, well, that's the best thing to tell. You know, number one's going to come first, number two's going to come second. I might not be exactly right, but it should be a good indicator. And thus I got all 16 wrong.
Exactly. And so, on that basis, take what we're saying this year with exactly the same amount of salt.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
dear.
Table four, Jeff Keeling versus Jack Payne. So, Jeff Keeling, UK ranked number one with his Beast Herds. And this is Jeff's first time at the Masters. And Jack Payne, just looking through, again, first time at the Masters. So, Beast Herds versus Warriors of the Dark Gods. Wow. And, I mean, Jeff's had a fantastic year, hasn't he?
I mean,
UK number one. You know, brilliant. So, he knows how to smash stuff up with Beast Herds, doesn't he? But are they going to struggle? I mean, Jack's gone for two units of Feldrax and an Ancestor. So,
yeah.
Again.
Yeah. Sorry, mate, you carry on for a bit.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, Feldrax, even with the small points hit, I mean, they're still, I mean, yeah, it's two really interesting lists. Again, I mean, this is probably going to be more bloody than the green skin list because it's going to be about smashing each other up, isn't it?
I think this is going to swing big one way or the other, personally. I mean, looking at Jeff's list, I've never played him. I don't actually know him. Apologies, Jeff. maybe one day you'll get to take me off the table at some point. But, yeah, I mean, his list, again, designed Well, he's been running a very similar list all year, hasn't he, with the Chariots? I remember, Ed, in the last tournament where we've been backing each other through the various tournaments, and Ed just kept saying, why do people just keep putting stuff in front of Jeff's Chariots? Stop letting him run them over. But it's pretty hard when you've got so many Chariots on the table. And it's just that presence. It's that long-range threat plus the ambushing stuff coming on from behind. And yeah, I appreciate some people say Beasts aren't in the best place, but I think Beasts clearly suit Jeff's playstyle, and he's clearly a decent player, or he wouldn't be ranked number one. And I think he knows how to use them. So he's done a very sensible thing coming into the Masters, bringing a list he knows very well and knows how to use. And also, more importantly, if he is starting to lose with them, he knows how to conserve points with them to minimize those losses. Jack, I think he's always been up there. He's always had the potential of coming to the Masters, just hasn't been in previous years because of prior engagements. Very similar to myself, if I was ever to have been fortunate enough to have competed and actually got a place, I don't think I would have ever been able to get there in January. So
there's a bit of a difference between those two statements. Yeah. Wait, so Jack, who was invited and didn't go, compared to you, neither placed or was invited, but still wouldn't have got. You would have done anything to go. You would have invented a funeral. You'd have lied through your teeth. And I think that statement is possibly...
Well, let's just put it this way. At least, the fortunate thing with Jack this year, at least he can come. So, but I do have some questions with his list. I mean, he's been brave bringing Warriors, I think. But also in doing so, I think he's going to do quite well because the meta's very anti-Elven and he's bought armor. And quite a few lists here can't deal with the armor he's bought. There's not a huge amount of alchemy around there or AP. That said, I don't think he's bought enough Feldrax. That also said, he's ranked 11th and I'm not, so he knows more about what he's doing. But after just playing around with a few Warriors lists, I don't know. I think he might struggle in this matchup. I know Jeff doesn't like playing Warriors with his Beasts. He mentioned that in his interview. I don't know. It's a hard one to call. I think, personally, I'm backing Jeff on this matchup purely based on the amount of impact hits and just board presence he has. If Jack was bringing two units of six Feldrax, I think they'd be able to take the Chariot charge and then just smash up everything in return because of the amount of... the amount of wounds they would have in the unit. I'm not sold on the 7-5 Fallen. I just don't rate them well as units. He's not got the Veil Walker on the Sorcerer, and he's got a Feldrak Ancestor, which I think could be quite a liability, but not necessarily in this matchup. It's a hard one, but I'm going with Jeff on this, purely because I think Jeff's got the Chariots to run him over with. And I don't think the Warriors are going to be able to cope with that. But prove me wrong, Jack. Prove me wrong.
I think possibly...
Jeff for 15, maybe even 16 here.
I think Jack's list looks to me like it's got a small advantage. The Ancestor kind of trumps the Beast Lord or the Chieftain in combat, if it goes that way. Two units of four Feldrax is scary. The Gluttony Warriors, like you said, you can't have it all. So he hasn't got the chaff to maybe get into those Chariots. But with the Feldrax and the Chosen Knights, he's got range. And he has got a unit of Flayers if he can get them in front of the Chariots to give himself a decent charge and get in there. I mean, you've got the block of three Chariots, but then Jeff's also got three individual Chariots, hasn't he? So it's...
Jeff's got three times three individual Chariots. He's got nine.
Oh, sorry.
This is what I'm saying. He's got so many Chariots. So many Chariots.
So Jeff's got three Raiding Chariots and then three times Raiding Chariot.
Yeah, plus a general on a chariot.
Oh, yeah, general on a chariot.
Plus a beast chieftain on a chariot.
All right, so he's got...
Plus a top chariot. Yeah.
But he's not got three times three, has he? He's only got one unit of three.
I think, yeah, it's one unit of three and three individual ones. And then he's also got 2x6 centaurs with the lances as well, which, again, they've got long range. But, yeah, no, it's your match. It's good as well if we both disagree. It'd be boring if we both agreed.
Well, I think, like I say, I think, it's difficult because, you know, Warriors, although they've got the armour, they don't have the numbers and they just get worn down. But Jeff's ranked number one. But I do wonder whether Jack can just grind him down over time. And again, you've got Soothsayer for Jeff, who's a master on shamanism, which is always good. But then, obviously, Jack's got Evo, which is great just for, well, a bit of sniping fun or for making sure that he hits or wounds. So, God, this is a difficult one. So, basically, I'm going to say Jack because you said Jeff.
Yeah, I'm going to change though from I'm going to change my result from Jeff. I don't think it's going to be quite as big because I think Jack's got a better chance of getting the objective looking at it because it's hold the ground. And I know Jeff likes to be moving around, whereas Jack can afford to just keep some units, especially that warrior block just sitting in the middle. 13 to Jeff.
So you think smallish win to Jeff, and I think, yeah. If Jack can deal with those chariots, I think he's laughing. But not many people have dealt with it.
So, no.
So, table five, Mark Greensill, currently ranked number six with Highborn Elves, versus Hugh Scarlin, currently ranked number 10 with Ogre Khans. So, Mark has been to the Masters before and placed ninth. Hugh has obviously been to the Masters before, and he's placed 13th, 4th, and 4th. So both have been, so they've got some experience. Hugh's been consistently up there. What do you think about the list, Paul?
So Mark's been playing Highborn Elves for a while now and knows what he's doing with them. I personally haven't been following the Highborn Elf book much since the update a few years ago now. Well, sorry, that was last year, wasn't it? Time flies. But he's got the prints on the Griffin with the Demon's Bane, the Nova Lance, the Diadem of Protection to give him the 4-up ward, and the Glittering Lacquer to make him hard target. I think that Prince build is really strong. I think it's going to be very interesting in the current... Again, it rinses Elves, and it just gives him that mobility. He's then got a master on Cosmo with the Book of Melodies, which, again, I think is really good in this environment. Again, I think from the look of the list, it was going to be an anti-Elven list. Again, I think just everybody's had to base it on what if we come up against Dread Elves, what are we going to do? But I think the benefit of Cosmo over Pyro gives him more options with other matchups. And I do really rate Cosmo as a spell path as well. He's got an adept on Alchemy with the Book of Arcane Mastery, which I think is going to be really important in certain matchups, just not necessarily in this one. I don't know why he chose Order of the Fiery Heart, because all that really enables him to do is cast Molten Copper into combat. It's more effective with Pyro. So maybe that's some points that he's wasted there. Otherwise, he's not on the mount or anything. So I'm not quite sure why he's taken that. Perhaps I'm missing something. But otherwise, the only thing I don't really like in his list are the 10 Highborn Lancers. That's controversy. I just really don't rate them. Hugh's list, on the other hand, he's taken Ogres, which was a big surprise. I don't think anybody was expecting Hugh to run Ogres. I don't have a huge experience playing with or against Ogres. Looking at the list, it's not something that I'm familiar with, as in seeing on the table, like he's gone Bombardiers instead of the Merc Vets. There's a Thunder Cannon in there. I don't know the last time I saw one of those. And he's got the three Slave Giants with great weapons. Now, I haven't spoken to Hugh. I don't know what Hugh's intentions were with this tournament. But it's not the strongest list, I think, that Ogres could bring. But it does have some hidden strengths in there. He's got a Master with Thorn, which is never a bad thing. Again, just looking at his list, I mean, the Destinist Call now on the Mammoth Hunter. Which is, I don't know if he could take that before. Perhaps he could because he's on foot still. Oh, no, you couldn't take it with Monstrous Infantry, could you? Or Large Infantry, whereas you can now. So, yeah, I mean, he's got some things in his list. The Bombardiers are going to be a problem. But I don't know.
I think the Bombardiers are going to be really good. I mean, even against nine Bombardiers against Highborn Elves, you know, that it's got a couple of rounds of shooting is going to dwindle those units down. Or versus Swordmasters. I mean, well, it's...
if Mark puts the Swordmasters opposite the Bombardiers, he's done something seriously wrong.
Yeah, but I suppose, yeah, Summit's got to go there, whether it's Citizen Spears. I mean, Queen's Guard are going to be a pain in the bum, aren't they? But yeah. But then there's Thorm. So, yeah, you know, again, you can really put some pressure because, you know, to force him about. Three, and I mean, let's face it, three giants. Who doesn't love three giants?
Well, yeah, I think they're gonna be, I mean, the great weapons are also good because they just enable him to build up his rage before he starts swinging. The trick is you only let him swing once and then kill him in the second round of combat or wound him enough so that when you do get into combat, you can kill him before he swings. But it can be a bit dicey. But I think Mark's got the range on him as well, though. I appreciate what you say with the Thorn. The only spell that would really bother me from the Ogre Khan's list there is the Comet. So that's what I'd be stopping every turn. His Queen's Guard unit probably has MR4 because he's got the commander in there with the two ether icons and the obsidian rock, which means that it's going to be very hard to hit them with any kind of magic. So I don't know. My money's on Mark here, purely on a little bit of naivety with Hugh's list. Hold the sensor. I think the elves can project more force and therefore push Hugh back a little bit more. Again, I don't know if it's going to be huge, but I would definitely say Mark probably would be a greener matchup here.
Well, I think Hugh has got some real positives in his in this matchup, and I think ogres are in a really good place. Obviously, no highborn elf would ever say highborn elf player would ever say it was a good army, but I think highborn have been consistently placing well. But I think ogres, you know, managed to get a little boost from the last points adjustment. So I think I probably tend to struggle more with ogres than I do with highborn elves, and I tend to lose to both of them. So I think, yeah, I'm going to say Hugh. Because more than anything, not necessarily a better army, but I'd definitely rather play the ogre side. If I was to use one of them,
I'm just looking at. I've changed my mind a little bit on his adept, Mark's adept now on alchemy, because he's got the access to the spear, which he never had before, the spike, and he actually can take the, he can take the hereditary spell with that, with a +2 to cast. That's quite big.
Oh, not melodies.
Actually, yeah, I like that build. Actually, that works. Oh, he can ignore missile type for silver spike. That's why he's taking it. Ooh, okay. Sorry, I'm learning things with the Order of the Fiery Heart since the update. That's why he's taking it, I'm assuming.
But I think they changed silver spike, so it's only multi-wound on the first hit.
It is, but the first hit's higher strength. Oh, subsequent hits are at a higher strength. Yeah. And it's the fact that your adept can take it. So you're chucking off a spike on... well, what was it, a 4? Maybe a 5 with +2 to cut. Plus, don't forget, elves reduce the casting values of spells by 1. So, yeah, with the Book of Arcane Mastery with a +2 to cast, suddenly means he's getting a basic spike off at 18-inch. Well, let's go, yeah, basic spike at 18-inch range. He brings the casting value down to 5. He can get that off on a 3+ on the dice. Take that to the face. And then he can get a basic one off on, what's that, 9 goes down to 8. He's +2 to cast. He only needs a 6 on the dice to get a 36-inch range one. Yeah, I'll take it back. The alchemy is actually even better now. If he comes up against the metal match, he can take the lash as well if he needs to. But the fact he's got spike and hereditary on that adept, yeah, no, I rate Mark's list even higher now. It's just those lancers. Prove me wrong, Mark. Prove me that lancers can work, because I still have no faith in them from personal experience.
Yeah.
Table six.
We have got Adam Tanker Jones, currently ranked UK number 2 with KOE, a Kingdom of Ectane, versus Kevin Stonebanks, currently ranked number 16 with Beast Herds. So starting off with Adam, he's obviously previously placed 8th, 10th and 3rd at Masters. So he's been to the previous three 9th age Masters. Whereas we have another new face with Kevin, who is, let's face it, over the moon to be there.
He is. And to be honest, he's earned it.
Yes.
But yes, now, over the moon.
I mean, just looking at the mashup. Yeah. Well, no, I think Kevin's, you know, just excited to be there, win or lose. You know, he's a winner. If you're in that pack, if you're in the 16 attendees, you're a winner for being there, aren't you?
Well, yeah, that's it. He's done it. He's made it. He's made the holy there. Now all he's got to do is not come last. And I think he can do that. I think he can put in a good fight. And he's getting some really good games against some really good players. So this is his chance to prove himself and also to prove his list.
Now, we all know Tanker and, you know, the style of lists that he loves. But he's got Kingdom of Ektain. And Rory mentioned earlier that this was actually based on rolling off to see which army he was taking. So,
yeah, I mean, a Tanker, I'm a little bit... Well, no, I can see why he's done it. I mean, personally, I would always like somebody to bring their A-list to the Masters, whereas Tanker's taking it a little bit more tongue-in-cheek, a little bit more relaxed than just picking a random army. But fair play, everybody gets... You've made it to the Masters, so you can make it what you want it to be. And I know everybody was kind of talking about, oh, what's the meta going to be? Dread Elves going to come in? How are we going to fight against them? And Tanker just does what I do. Pick up a dice, throw it, make a decision. So hats off to him for that. But he's bought quite an interesting Kingdom of an Ektain list, hasn't he?
Yes. It's a Kingdom of Ektain. Best thing about it is a Kingdom of Ektain army with Knights. There's a lot of peasant lists. Now, Kevin's got Beast, but Kevin knows Kingdom of Ektain, doesn't he? That is one of his other armies that he plays.
That's his strength, yeah. He does. At least He knows what Tanker's army is capable of.
So
the difference is, I think, Tanker knows what he's doing with it. I don't know. I mean, Kev's list, Kev's been rocking Beasts all year, from what I understand. Apart from, the one tournament, up in the Scottish Championships, he was running Warriors still, wasn't he? But since UB, he's been running the Beasts. It's a decent list. Again, I don't think the Beasts were hit that hard at all during the update. In fact, if anything, I know he was concerned about the Minotaurs being walloped, but the command reduction kind of outweighed the increase in the points costs. And, I mean, the new Minotaur Warlord with the ability to take Destiny's Call over the plus one res and 4-up regen, given the amount of flaming out there now, I'd quite happily take the 4-up save, the 4-up ward, 4-up Aegis save. Over plus one res and regen, or fortitude, sorry, as it now is. I think that Minotaur Lord build is probably one of the best characters out there at the moment, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, can the Dukes kill the Minotaur Warlord? I know the Dukes took a little bit of a nerf in the last update. You can't quite get the same combination. I've got to be honest, I don't know enough about KOE to know the matchup, whether Kevin has to be scared or whether basically the Minotaurs are once again in the army. Once again, it's just the delivery system for that character who'll start tearing through units. So I don't know enough about KOE. Probably Kevin's one of the best placed people, a regular KOE player, to know how good it's looking.
Yeah. I mean, again, I'm not a huge knowledge on KOE. The fact that Tanker went for the Druidism Master, I think, it's a boring option, but it's the best option. I mean, Shamanism's fun.
It's a boring option, but in an aggressive army, isn't it? With an aggressive player.
So good. I mean, the fact you've got the ability to raise up, what, 6 knights? I've just killed them. What are they doing back up? It's a very strong... Very strong magic lore for the Kings of Ektain. Personally, I think Kev's uphill on this one. I think, with respect to Kevin, I think Tanker's a better player. I think Tanker's got a more compact list that outranges him in charging, and I don't think the beasts are going to be able to stand up much to the amount of armor that's coming at them from range with the amount of impact damage that can be caused by the knights on the charge. I don't know how Kev's going to win this one personally. Minotaur, as you say, I don't know how Tainka's characters do against the Minotaur Warlord. If they can basically box him in and keep him honest in the game, or even take his scalp, I think Kev goes down big. If Kev can scare him off with the Minotaur Warlord, then I think Tank still wins based on ability and scenario. But I think it's going to either be a medium win to Tanker or a big win to Tanker, depending on if he can deal with the Warlord.
Sorry, I'm Kevin. With you on that one. I think Tanker's probably going to pull it out. But really don't know the matchup enough to say. But good luck to both players.
Yes, definitely. All the best. I mean, Kev, mate, I'm supporting you through this tournament because, like you say, you've made it. So if you can take some scalps in this event, do so. It's good to get some new names in. But yeah, honestly, looking at the matchup, I don't think it's a great one for Kev.
I mean, there's the other thing. You could always just throw something in front of the Knights and charge up and just try to smash through him. Who knows? We'll just have to wait and see. Hopefully he doesn't get spooked and start playing differently.
That's it. Which Knight Bus do you block, though?
Yeah.
It takes one of those to hit him, and it'll go straight through.
And it's not like Tanker's going to leave himself in a position where one unit of gargoyles can chap everything up, is it? That's something that I do.
I mean, the thing with these knight units is they're only three guys wide. They're very long, and you have to be a little bit careful with that. But again, Tank knows what he's doing. But yeah, it's going to be very difficult to contain those knights if they want. It all comes down as well. I mean, I was going to say it requires Tank to fail some charges, but we all know how Tank rolls dice. So let's move on. Let's ask Tank to fail a 10 on Swift Stride. Now that's a 100% guarantee for him, isn't it? So next table 7.
Table 7, we've got Mikey Newman, currently ranked UK number 7 with VC. Versus Ryan Amiri, currently ranked UK number 14, with Infernal Dwarves. So, Mikey has, what's his previous? He's been to two previous Masters and was 7th and 16th. This is Ryan's second Masters. He previously came 9th. And is this not a rematch of the Winter War final?
It's very similar to, I know Mikey and Ryan both bought the same armies, and Ryan tabled him 20-0, didn't he?
Yeah. So has Ryan's luck won out, or is this just another bad matchup that we're not seeing? So, I mean, both very experienced with those lists. You know, that's what they've been. They've been both playing their respective armies all year. They've not swapped it out or suddenly switched about thinking that there's a change in meta. They've bought what they're experienced with. Obviously, Mikey, you know, experienced ETC player. I think Ryan's on the Lions as well. You know, the development team. So should be a good ding-dong. And again, I think Ryan, I mean, a certain number of his placement score obviously comes off your back, does it not, Paul?
Yeah. The last time we played, it was quite close. But yeah, it was a good match. But he had the advantage. But again, that comes down to my list inadequacies, I think, and also the fact that I misunderstood just quite what Kadim Incarnates could do. But then he was running two units of one unit of 4, one unit of 5 or 6, I think, or was it a unit of 3 and a unit of 5? Whereas this list is different. He's lost the Kadim Titan for a start, and he's got 2 Infernal Engines, which could be interesting in this matchup.
Yeah, Banshees and Fell Wraiths will obviously be a problem for the Infernal Engines, but otherwise, I mean, I suppose he's got... I mean, are the Knights really that much? I suppose Knights are... Have they got...
The Alchemy will rinse the Infernal Engines because they've got no...
He's got Alchemy. No.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'd missed that one.
So looking at Mikey's list, Mikey's running a list similar to... So I've got a little bit of experience with Mikey's list to a point. when you and I went to the flat earlier this year, during that brief respite in lockdown, we went there with Tom Lucky Sixes and Matt Perris. I ran a vampire list that was very similar to this, with a Master on Alchemy and a Master on Evo. I really rate it. I think the two spell laws really complement each other very well. I think the Alchemy in the current matchups can be very strong. The Evo has taken a bit of a hit. The long-range snipes now drop from 24 to 18, which is actually bigger than it sounds, because it now means you have to put your Necromancer in more risk than he was before. But the rest of the list is slightly different. I mean, he's running the eight ghasts. He's running the ghouls that I was running, the zombies. But I was running with two Shrieking Horrors, where he's gone for the Wing Reapers and the Vampire Knights. I think Micah's list is strong. I think it's definitely got some redundancy in there. It's going to be hard for some armies to shift. I think Ryan's got some answers for it. Again, I think it's going to be a tough match for both players. And it could be hard for Ryan to get some points out of it. But I think if he can commit and if he can get into the right place and take points off Mikey, it might slide in his favour. I think the other big thing to remember as well, the last time these two players met, is it was really 20 points or nothing to beat Kev to win that particular tournament, wasn't it? Was it Ultima Assault these two met?
Was it Ultima Assault or Winter War?
It wasn't Winter War, because that's the one that was most recent and I did terribly.
Okay, so
I think
it was Ultima Assault.
And I said to Kev, and I was saying to Matt as well, because Matt called me up and we were just chatting about some bits and pieces. And I said, you know what, Mike and Ryan, that's not going to be a 10-10. Both players, that's not going to work. They both need to push to beat Kev to win the tournament. And both players are that way inclined. Whereas I think at the Masters, they might both, especially with it being game one.
Round one, yeah.
Yeah, I think they're both going to be a lot more cagey, or I would expect them to both be. So I really doubt it's going to be a massive landslide one way or the other like it was the last game. But that being said, I don't know. Ryan's got some tools to deal with Mikey, but Mikey's got the alchemy to deal with the engines. So there's points to be got from both lists here. So I'm going to verge on Mikey being the slightly better player and wanting revenge. I'm going to go Mikey for a 12-8.
I think it can go either way. They've played each other before. I'm going to go with Ryan because I still find VC to be my bogey army, and I always enjoy seeing them lose. And that is purely your fault, Paul.
Even though
I played them for two or three tournaments, didn't I? And watched them lose a lot when I played them. I still, you know, the thought of playing against a VC army just makes me shudder inside, because you do so much and then they just get up again.
I know. It's so demoralising, isn't it? I do miss him. I do miss
Right, final table.
Yeah.
So, table eight, we have Craig Johnson with Highborn Elves, current ranked number four and the current UK Master, versus Rory Stoves, currently ranked number 12, Sylvan Elves. So, Craig has been to Masters twice before. And he got fifth place and first place. And this is Rory's first visit there. So I don't think we really need to say any more. Obviously, Rory, for the 20, Craig, a bad start. Right, shall we just move on from... Ooh, I'm fairly sure Craig doesn't listen to us, but if he did, he's just throwing his phone out the window.
That's it, yeah, that's it. Major meltdown. Okay, where do we want to start? Do you want to kick off? What do you think?
Can do. I mean, Highborn Elves, Wizard. I mean, Craig, magic-wise, he's got two High Princes, a Commander, and an Adept on Pyro.
He's got the Master of the Cambric Tower, don't forget.
Oh, I see. Oh, that's what I was going to say. I'm missing something, can't I? But, Master of the Cambric Tower. So that is a second Adept, isn't it?
Yeah, basically, yeah. Yeah, he's got some choices that he can choose there. He's only got the learned part of certain spell laws, but he's got more than enough magic.
I mean, you've got 27 Seaguard, 15 Seaguard. So he's obviously liking the look of the Seaguard over the archers or the spearmen. 11 Lion Guard, some Reavers. So he's not gone with the Knights. 3 Reapers and 2 Phoenixes. He's missing a dragon.
No, that's why he's in the Masters, mate. Now I've noticed actually, I think there's a mistake on the document that we're looking at Twitter, because I was under the impression he had a Fire Phoenix and a Frost Phoenix. Looking at his list on the Masters thing that is submitted, that's what he's got. He's only got one Fire, one Frost. My comments on Craig's list, I like parts of it and I really dislike others. I don't like the Frost Phoenix at all. I don't think it's very good. That's personal opinion, though, and I know that other players have managed to use it quite well. But I don't think there's enough Lion Guard. There's only 11 of them. They've got the Banner of Becalming as well, which means they're really not offensive. I think they're just to stand there and maybe act as a bodyguard, but I don't really see what they bring to the list. I personally love Lion Guard. I run a unit of 24 with the Navigator standard, and I think in the current meta, just in general, I think they're a really solid unit. But 11 Lion Guard fall over really quickly, and for 347 points and quite an important banner in his list, I think that's some weakness that Rory can definitely exploit.
I Rory, thought Craig would have taken a more movie about the army. You know, when I played Craig recently, I had Sylvan Elves with a lot of two units of 4 of the Hawks. You know, and a dragon, and it, you know, didn't really know where I was going to fight him. He could be, he could switch from one side to the other so quickly. Just looking at it, go, wow, that's like an army that I'd never thought of playing with, but I kind of played against it. I just fancy having a go with this. So it's not really as movie about it. A lot, like I was saying, with, you know, needs more dragons or griffins, summit to give him that movement that, you know, is kind of his normal style. But I think he's probably looked to what he thinks he's playing against. He's got a couple of Phoenixes, and you can never go wrong with bolt throwers, apart from the fact that you plonk them down and there they are. So, I don't know. I mean, should we have Rory, Sylvan Elves? Now, he has got a dragon, so...
Yeah, he's got one of the best dragon builds in the game, in my opinion, as well. The Sylvan Bays with Titanic Might and the Obsidian Rock. I mean, it's cheap, it's versatile, it's got very high damage output, and yeah... I came up against it recently, and you look at it and think, oh, it fights everything, because it's got strength 7 and he's AP 3. And he's offensive 8 with +1 to hit because of the lightning reflexes and paired weapons to get around any kind of parry shenanigans. So, yeah, it's a really nice piece to be moving around on the table. And it's a dragon, so it's pretty cool. He's got a Master of Cosmo, which is interesting. But sorry, mate, you carry on.
I was going to say, the problem is, though, whatever of his rank and file comes out is going to get peppered, isn't it?
It is.
27 Seaguard, 15 Seaguard, 3 bolt throwers. Sylvan can also pump out the shots. He's got the 15 archers, 10 pathfinders, 10 Sylvan sentinels. Yeah, I don't necessarily think he's winning the range game.
No, I think both will take points. I think, with respect to Rory, and I know his interview's coming up after this, but we've spoken to before this, and I did say to this to him off air, I think he's unfortunately been affected by the fact everybody's been tooling up to deal with Dread Elves, which means they've tooled up to deal with Elves in general, and he's going to be a bit of collateral damage bringing Sylvan Elves. I think he's going to struggle. I think it's not a bad matchup against Craig, but I think Craig's going to win this particular game based on the fact he has more range and he's got the pyro, which Sylvan Elves absolutely hate. But I don't think Rory's going to go down without a fight. I think Rory will take some points, but I think it's going to be a hard game for Rory to win. Put it that way. I think Craig's going to take it. I think Craig will probably take it reasonably big. I think it'll be something like 14, maybe even 16, because he's going to take the objective and just push Rory back.
I think you're right. However, I'm going to say Rory because he's bought a dragon.
And, fair enough.
You know, taking a dragon to the Masters, I think that's the way ahead. And, you know, if everybody tells Craig that he's going to win, then it'll, you know, he needs to be fighting uphill. So I'm going to vote for Rory.
Hey, the people's man. Fair play, mate. That is good.
Yeah.
Good prediction. And we'll see. One of us.
And I'll be disappointed if he loses.
You hear that, Rory? You're holding Tony's high.
No pressure for your first Masters.
And that's it.
Obviously, everything on your table, on your side, if it pops up in front of his arm, he'll just get shot off in a round. But deal with that if you would, Rory, and run over him. So,
and there
I think Craig is more experienced, possibly with the better list out of the two for the matchup. So my money's all on Rory. Right. So that's the first round predictions. So have you got a few players who you think will be up there at the end of the Masters?
Yes. Based on first rounds and also based on how their list will do against others. I mean, it's a very, very interesting set of lists, I must say. And obviously a lot of this comes down to how those players can use those lists as well. Like, for example, you could say that I don't rate Marcus's list very well at all, personally. With all respect, Marcus, as a Demon player that I've been all year, I don't really like the list that you've bought. However, Marcus knows how to use Demons, and he's a good player. And I think that speaks volumes.
Is it not the way that Marcus has been playing as well, rather than the way you've been playing? You know, he's been consistently using MSU.
And it comes down to player style, doesn't it? That's just it. I think that the beauty of Ninth Age is that if you can find a list that works for you, those units will work better in your hands because you know how to utilize them. Like, I've always been terrified of running the 22 Succubi with Smothering Coils. I know it's probably very good, but 605 points spent on 22 models that are res 3 with a 5-up save scares the life out of me. It's just, that's points that's disappearing pretty quick in some matchups. But he knows what he's doing with it. Another classic example of bringing what they know is Jeff Keeling with his Beast Herds. I think whilst as player ability, whilst he's number one in the UK at the moment through playing tournaments, and he's won a big event as well at Art of War, which is no mean feat, no small mean feat, I should say. He's bought what he knows and how to use it. So I think he will also be quite competitive this tournament. I mean, same could be said of Kev. I think Kev's bought a list that he knows how to use. Whereas I think someone like Craig has bought something that he likes the look of, but I don't know necessarily if he knows how it works. I mean, again, I don't rate the Frost Phoenix at all. I don't really like the list that much, but maybe he knows how to get the most out of it. I look at that and think, I won't want to touch that. I'd change X, Y, and Z. But coming back to what you've asked me, I think,
yeah, I was going to say, you've avoided any form of answer there, so well done.
But no, it's hard to answer. But I think the reason why I'm going to say the lists I am is because these players know what they're doing with these particular lists. And I think the lists they've bought will do well in the meta that they're in, i.e. against the other lists that they're going to come up against. So I'm going to pick three. I'm going to pick them. I think these guys will come in the top three would be my prediction. In no particular order, just because I'm flicking through them on my phone. I think Jake Corteen with his Infernal Dwarves, I think they've got a good chance. I think the Infernal Dwarves are in a very good place at the moment. They're one of the newer books, so naturally their books are one of the stronger books on the scene. And I think he's bought an army there that will do well against most other lists that he's playing against. I think a bit of a dark horse for me is Mark Greensill with his Highborn Elves. I think of the two Highborn Elf lists at the tournament, I think Mark's is better. Again, I would have dropped the Highborn Lancers and put something else in, but otherwise there's nothing in that list that I would change. I think it's all very, very solid. But again, it comes down to player, what he likes to play with. And again, I think he's got some tools there to deal with. And I think Colin has actually pulled out of the bag a little bit with the amount of pirate because of some of the other builds out there. I think Colin's list is going to do well. Plus, he's a good player. They're my three picks for the event. What about yourself?
So, yeah, the hot group for me, I think, obviously, you've got Mikey with his vamps. I do wonder whether he can take first place, though, because I think he'll consistently win, but I don't know if he'll get the big wins to sneak into first place. But I do think Mikey, listy knows, really experienced, successful player. You know, third time at the Masters, Ninth Age Masters, so could do very well. Again, I think the format suits him. You know, this is the gaps between rounds, you know, gives him a chance to work on analysing it a bit more. Everybody says that he's, you know, puts the most work in. So, and again, top player and with a good list. Yep, Colin, you know, back to what he knows best, consistently high performing. Now, our tanker, I think, is going to be held back by the KOE. So he just got squeezed out because he's got KOE and not what I'd see as one of his normal tanker lists. So probably Craig is the other one.
We can't be fair. This is our podcast, not his. You can't pick Craig. No, fair enough, mate. Fair enough. He's a good player. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah. And then if I was to pick one, I think Jake has got a really good shout. And that's for two reasons. I think just the format, the six rounds, and the gap between every round, I think, you know, it just suits him. I would have said Colin, but he's come fourth, third, second, so you couldn't possibly become first. That would be too perfect, wouldn't it? 4-3-2-1. No, that's never going to happen.
Fair enough. No, yeah,
what about yourself?
Yeah, as I said, Jake, Mark and Colin for 1-2-3 in no particular order. They're my three.
So who do you think's going to win?
Oh, you can't say that.
Yes, you can. I said Jake. Come on.
One of those three. I can't say Jake as well. It's not fair.
Well, there you go. Mark or Colin, who are you picking?
Oh, I think if Colin had bought Alchemy instead of Pyromancy, I think he would have a better chance against certain people in the tournament. It's a hard one. I think Jake's got it, personally, from ability list, Infernal Dwarves. You know what? No, I'm going to be different. I'm going to pick a wild card. I'm going to back Mark. Mark, mate, you've got my backing with your Highborn Elves. I think you've got a chance there. Just prove that the Highborn Lancers can work for me. I think you've got a reasonable first round. I think it's going to be tight in every round, but I think you've got answers to deal with everybody's lists. If you come up against Jake, probably final game of the tournament, I think you've got some tools there to deal with his stuff. But it's going to be close. I don't see anybody running away with this event. I think if they do, well, hats off to you. I think it's going to be a close run thing for some people.
Excellent. Right. Well, you'll be pleased to know, Paul, I've written it all down. So Excellent. We'll be able to revisit this and we'll see how we've done. So, like I say, my record last year was I got 16 wrong by basing it on the rankings. So I honestly wonder whether rolling a dice, it might be next year's strategy. But this year, I've just made arbitrary decisions based on my very limited experience and knowledge.
I can't remember how I did for the past two times. I remember there was one time I went on with Will and I was on the Thundercocks podcast doing some predictions. I think I got 50%. Which sounds great, but that's really 4 out of 8. So it's not the best, is it? But no, again, this is purely based on our naivety and the fact that neither of us in the Masters. So what do we know?
No. Well, I mean, you haven't gone to the last few because you were busy, weren't you?
Oh, mate, I couldn't make it. That's what it
was.
I couldn't get to enough events. I couldn't get to enough events. But you're here, my bemoaning.
You were washing your hair, whereas my consistent coming last at tournaments or bottom quarter. When they were, I don't know if, did you see the PTG guys, Who's Who?
Oh, mate, it's been brilliant. I recommend anybody to just look at the coverage that these guys have been putting
out. No, but the Who's Who video with the player cards, I mean, that obviously that photo of Kevin still haunts me in my sleep. But
at least it was cropped a bit better, so you didn't get the full impact. The one he sent to us on the older WhatsApp feed. Oh, that was a shock. We weren't expecting that. But Kevin, mate, you
shows a few inches
well.
More.
Oh, it doesn't leave much to the imagination.
but on there, I think Rory mentioned that Jack had, you know, was saying how he couldn't remember the last tournament where he scored less than 50 points.
Yeah,
I think that's what was meant. And I was thinking, I can't imagine, you know, I can't think of many tournaments in Knife Age where I have scored 50 points. So,
That's it. But we'll cover our attempt to get into the Masters in our first proper podcast, probably after the Masters is finished. But for now, we'll call it there. There's a competition going on, which get involved in that. There's some fantastic prizes to be won. So get into that and obviously continue to check out the other coverage. There's going to be some live punditry on some certain games. I'm not quite sure how all this is working out at the moment, but Tom and Matt have got all this under control and we'll be jumping on at some point if we can. And I just want to say hand on heart congrats to all the guys who have made it. It's hard to get there. It's not an easy ride. You've all earned your place. You're all good players. And hats off to you all for getting into the Masters and good luck to all of you. I don't wish any of you ill, apart from Craig.
No, I think
you can't bet on the favourite, can you? No, all the best to all of you.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting. So we'll do a little summary at the end, shall we? And we'll look at our matchups and how it went. And it will be interesting to see the sort of feel that we get from this UB event in comparison to the normal Masters. And Tom and Matt have really done a tight ship on getting some coverage and getting people to follow it, but it's a little bit of a shame that it's not the physical, but you know, it's the world we're in. We've had to adapt, and you know, the committee with the various members have had to try to work out what they can do. It wasn't what they planned, but just to make sure something goes. So yeah, we'll have to see how it all runs. And so on that note, I'd like to thank you, Paul, for your time and for putting your neck out, guaranteeing that Mark's going to win.
You heard it here first. it's a surprise to me as well. But yeah,
so that's
good
it.
Luck, everyone.
So all the pressure's on Mark and on Rory for winning against Craig in the first round. So like I say, I can't see how you could lose it, Rory.
No, we can't see at all, mate. Give him hell. Give him hell. Yeah. All right, mate. Well, it's a goodbye from me.
And it's a goodbye from him.
Adios.
Hi, guys. I'm Lucky Sixes.
And I'm Matty P.
And today we're here to introduce the Masters 2021 competition, where you can win a whole host of prizes, including painted models from the Gobbo and Kev, lifetime TTS subscription, gaming book from Heretic Games, Rotten Factory Unpainted Nurgle Champion, Laser Sight Pen, and a free standard size commission from the Gobbo himself. All you have to do to win one of these prizes is answer this simple question. What was the latest army book released by the Ninth Age? Was it A, Orcs and Goblins, B, Dread Elves, or C, Undying Dynasties? And Matty, how do you enter this wonderful competition?
Well, Lucky Sixes, I'm glad that you asked. All we're asking people to do to enter this competition, and let's face it, why wouldn't you with a list of prizes like that, is simply to send us an email to the following address, paredweaponpodcast@gmail.com. That's paredweaponpodcast, all lowercase and all one word, gmail.com. Don't forget to include your contact number, your contact Twitter, your contact forum, and any way other that you'd like us to let you know if you've been a lucky winner or not. And don't forget to keep an eye out for the PTG videos at the end of the Masters, where we'll be announcing those lucky winners.
Yes, at least 7 winners we will have for this competition, so it is well worth you entering. Make sure you check out all our other content on several podcasts, including Paired Weapon Podcast, Slan Rat, Thundercocks, and Fantasy Warbanging Podcast. And of course, the videos right here on PTG. That's it from us. Best of luck, and stay tuned for more content.
Best of luck, guys. See you later.